أنتم تستمعون إلى شبكة مايكس للبودكاست.
This podcast is brought to you by Mayadeen. They've been setting up amazing events and conferences, both local and international, for over 15 years across multiple industries. From cultural to sporting to entertainment events, they've done it all. Welcome to All Roads Lead to Saudi podcast. My name is Shamas Khan. I'm with my co-host Mutar Bil. We're in the beautiful city of Milan with the biggest football transfer expert. / journalist. Fabrizio Romano, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks a lot, welcome. Guys. Big pleasure to be here. Thanks for coming to Milano, because it's a nice visit and nice to see you coming here.
So it's not the worst thing, man, being in Milano.
Yeah, the weather's beautiful. We're happy to be here. So let's start off with, how did you become the world's biggest sport journalist?
It's been a long journey, honestly. It's been a long journey because I started very early. I think I've been lucky because I started when I was 16, 17, to write on a very small website. I was based in Napoli. My city is Napoli. My family is there. Yeah. So I was there with my family still studying, but I had the chance to write on some small website and so to practice about football in general, to write some small articles and this stuff. Till one day, one guy, Italian guy, working in Barcelona, in the bar of La Masia, so the Barcelona Academy, was not even an agent, was a guy who was trying to enter in the football industry, called me and asked me to publish an article to share about the skills of some players. It was not the modern football, you know, now you can go online and find everything about the players. At that time, it was more complicated. Yeah. It was almost 15, 16 years ago. And he told me, can you write an article about these two players, Mauro Icardi and Gerard Deulofeu, because I'm very close to them. I'm working here in La Masia, so maybe I can get next to their agents and start to work into this industry. I said, why not? Of course, I have nothing to lose, so let's do that. And we started connecting. He became an agent. We started working with the agent of Mauro Icardi, and now I'm big friend with him, but he's the guy who brought Mauro Icardi from Barcelona to Sampdoria and then from Sampdoria to Inter. So I broke the story of Icardi going to Sampdoria, was not a big one, but then when he moved to Inter, was a huge news here in Italy, was my first news. I was like 17, 18, and I started saying Icardi will go to Inter, Icardi will go to Inter. All the people were saying like, it's November, how you can know that? It's going to happen in the summer, it's too early, it's not going to be confirmed. And they told me, I owe you something after you helped me in that moment. And so it was a special moment for me because he told me like it was a secret meeting with the president of Inter. Yeah. It's time for you to go with this big news. So try, risk, I'm 100% sure. Yeah. And at the end, Icardi joined Inter. And that's how my journey started. I entered into Sky Sports in Italy. And I started spending every single summer, every single day, including the January transfer window. So imagine 4 months per year, every single day here in Milano, in the center, around the streets, every day. So in restaurants, hotels, wherever I had the chance to meet some football people, agents, players, directors, to get in touch, to create my network. And then I started using the social media, so English, Spanish, also different languages, to enter into this world and build this model, not just in Italian, but also in English, and try this chapter.
How did you build your relationships, Fab? Because obviously these are people that are very difficult to get to. So how did you reach them? How did you build that connection?
Going around the city. That was my secret. Go around the city, go outside restaurants, hotels, wherever you had the chance to meet. Because if they see you there outside every single day, not just one time or twice, but every single day you are around, you are respected because people know that at the end you are respecting them, you're not creating a problem, you just want the news and you just want to get in touch.
Yeah.
That's how I created the relationship with many people. And then in football, you know, it's like for players, for journalists it's the same. You can create a connection, a contact with maybe a director, an agent or this kind of people. They start growing. Yeah. You start growing as a journalist. They start growing as football people. And so, for example, people who were maybe at Sampdoria, at Cagliari, now they are at Tottenham or they are at Manchester United. And so you keep growing and your information keep growing. And the same also with your network, of course.
Amazing. Amazing. So just fast forward. So here we go, right? That's your signature catchphrase, right? Like, where did that come from? Where did the inspiration come from? And did you know it was going to become what you're associated with?
No, not at all. Yeah? No, not at all. Wow. Because when I started, it was completely random. It was not something maybe planned with my friends or with an agency. Not at all.
Yeah.
It all started because one day I was reporting on Manchester United transfer. I don't even remember which one really.
Oh, really?
It's crazy. Yeah. But I started like tweeting every day about that transfer. I remember it was like 2-3 weeks, was a very slow transfer. And at the end, I said, okay, now it's over. Here we go. The deal is done. Now we can say it is done. And I see that the people reacted immediately with some excitement. Then the following day, I was tweeting about other stuff like Arsenal, Barcelona, all the others.
Yeah.
And they started texting me in the comments, can you say here we go for this transfer too, please? I said, okay, let's do that.
And it worked.
I had this feeling that it was something nice to give people context of the negotiation when it's finally over. And so that's why I decided to continue. Was nice because it started with the people, you know?
Amazing.
It didn't start with maybe a strategy or marketing or this stuff. It was really natural.
It's organic.
And that's why I love it.
Oh, amazing, man. So you're as big as you are, I imagine, because of the reliability of your information, right? So how do you personally verify transfer information? So, because anybody can just come to you and say, oh, this is happening. How do you make sure that it's accurate?
Having many and many and many sources in different places of the world, you can cover the same transfer with different sources. Can be the family, can be the player himself, maybe on social media, can be the agent, obviously. Now, even with agencies in football transfers, it's easier because compared to when I started, at that time was maybe 3, 4, 5 big agents.
Yeah.
Now there are many agents and many people involved in the transfers. In the agency, sometimes you have 4, 5, 6 people from the same agency working on a transfer. Someone is working on the documents, someone is working with the family, someone is working with the player. So you have many people involved in a transfer. What I try to do on a daily basis is to verify with different people involved in the story. So not just one part of the story, but maybe both club and player, both clubs, or maybe different people from the same agency.
Yeah.
You know, I always try to check and check and check. And then at the end of the day, you know who is the people you can trust and who is the people
you know how many followers this guy has on social media?
I heard
it's outrageous. Huh? 28 million on Instagram, 20 million Twitter, and I think 11 million on TikTok.
Yeah. Wow,
so how did you grow that? Like, how did you get to that point?
It's crazy. It's really crazy. I think the real secret has been my personal time, because my life is my job now, basically. I don't remember the last day I said, okay, let's leave the phone and let's enjoy the day with, I don't know, my friends, my girlfriend, my family, whatever. It's never happened. They know that my life is with my phone. So I'm always on my phone. I'm never going to spend an entire day like, okay, today I'm relaxing. Maybe I can relax some hours, obviously. But when it's about the entire day, it's not happening. Since I was 16, 17, I never give up. So it's always about how much you invest in terms of time into your job. That's what made the difference, in my opinion.
So how I wanted to ask you about FFP. So we saw in England in the Premier League that Everton and Nottingham Forest had a points deduction. I want to ask you, how has this impacted transfers, or has it impacted transfers going forward? Have you seen a difference in the way people are talking to you about?
There is a big difference. I think there are many factors now entering into the game after these financial fair play rules going that strong, especially in England. The first result was the January transfer window.
Yeah.
Was super quiet. It was the quietest I've ever seen, and I wasn't expecting that. But then, speaking to all my sources, they were all saying, it's clear this is happening because of financial fair play rules. It's completely crazy to see how top clubs like Manchester United wanted to sign maybe a new striker or a new winger, and you can't do that because of financial fair play.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Chelsea. Chelsea wanted to do something in the January window, but not happening because of financial fair play. So the first effect is that the January window was already complicated. Now the second effect, I think, is going to be in the summer transfer window, with many clubs, by the end of June, forced to sell some players to make some profit. So I think we will see clubs like Chelsea and many others selling some players maybe from the academy because they need to make some pure profit for financial fair play. And then I think the academies is going to be the third crucial point of this story, because they need to create academies with quality players because they need to sell those players.
Yeah.
I think what Manchester City did, for example, is to sell many players from the academy, generate money. Sometimes can happen that Cole Palmer is going to Chelsea and so you are going to regret that, but it's part of the system if you want to survive.
What do you mentioned Man City. Like, what do you think will happen? And when do you think it will happen regarding the 115 charges?
To be honest with you, I have no idea about timing and also no idea about the process, because Manchester City don't want to enter into details of the story. And I respect that. At the end, I think we have to wait for the formal steps of the story. I can guarantee that Man City keep insisting on their position to be clean. They keep believing that everything will be fine. But obviously, 115 charges, it's a lot. So we have to see what's going to happen there with the process.
Interesting. And then just going back to actual players and all the information that you gather, how do you personally keep all that data? Like, do you have a player database? Like, how do you monitor?
Do you have a team?
Yeah, you must write like all these players across the leagues.
I'm going to surprise you, but no, I don't have any data. I don't have any.
No, but nothing in Excel, like
nothing.
No team. You?
No. Just my brain. I just go with my mind every day. Just follow football on a daily basis. At the end, it's like the best way to be always updated. Every single day, you are following football, the results, what's going on around the world. Every day. Man. If you don't stop every day, at the end, you don't need to be updated because it's your daily daily routine, you know? That's it. So I don't have any data. I have a team just helping me with the editing of the videos on YouTube or the other platforms, because I don't know how to edit the video. So that's why, basically. But all the other stuff, everything you see on my social media accounts is shared by myself. I would never give the passwords on my account to someone else to share the news, because I think it's also a matter of respect for people following me, that when you see the information, it's coming directly from myself and no one is texting for me.
It's a one-man band.
Amazing. One-man army.
That's crazy. I wanted to ask you about player valuations. So we saw that with Chelsea, Caicedo, like Mudryk. How do people determine these numbers, like 100 million, 120 million? Like, where does that come from? Is there a formula? Is there a science behind it?
No, I think it's always about the club, It's the club making the difference. For example, I think the example of Caicedo is the best one in this moment. Caicedo is a player who was maybe available at the beginning of the summer for something around 75, 80 million.
Yeah.
Then Brighton wanted the perfect strategy to wait and wait and wait till they had maybe Chelsea with an official bid for more than 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the waiting game was a smart game for Brighton at the end. At the end, yeah. They sold the player for a record fee, but just because they decided to wait and not to accept 75, which was already big money for a midfielder in that moment of the window, at the beginning of the transfer window. So I think it's always about the club. Some clubs prefer to sell immediately, not to play with the negotiation till the end. Other clubs prefer to risk, and at the end they can have a reward, or maybe risk too much, and at the end you are not selling the player. So I think it's always about the club strategy. There is not a specific price.
Okay, so it's not linked to the value of their contract, anything like that?
There is always a value. There is always a fixed value, the basic value of the player. Yeah. But I think when you go over the value, it's because the club decide to risk or to have a proper strategy for that player. Even Mudryk, for example. Shakhtar had the chance to sell Mudryk for 80 million to Arsenal. It was a fair value, so everything was ready. They decided to wait and wait and wait, and then Chelsea appeared with 100 million and they were smart enough to wait.
Anthony at Man United, so there's a lot of noise about also, overpaid for him. Like,
exactly.
Where did this number come from? Why 190 million?
When you arrive to the end of August,
I
have less time to replace the player as a selling club.
Yeah.
And so you have to play big money. Otherwise, I'm not selling player. Wow. If you want to sign Anthony at the beginning of the transfer window, maybe with 75 million, you are fine.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the transfer window, it was the final week of August, you have to pay 100. Otherwise, I can't replace the player. And for me, it's not a good business.
Interesting.
How much does that, what's the percentage of that money that goes to the actual players? Like, how does it work? The majority of the money go to the...
Yeah, this is a good question because it also depends on case by case, but usually the salary of the player is around, it depends, but it's around the 10% of the value of the fee they pay.
Pass me the soccer ball.
So that's usually the...
You're asking good football questions now, bro.
That's usually what they do, but it depends. Sometimes it's different. It depends. Maybe if you move as a free agent, for example, this is why, for example, Kylian Mbappé is going to move as free agent and many others, you're going to get a fantastic and crazy signing fee.
Yeah,
so you have
the
fixed salary, but also a crazy signing fee. So it always depends case by case,
Interesting. Yes. So move on to the Saudi league now. So Mutano is a little bit about this stuff. So I'll start off with the questions about the league. So how is the Saudi league viewed in terms of the global football context? Like, what is the perception of it, do you think, externally?
Growing in an incredible and fantastic way, honestly. Yeah. Really an incredible growth for credibility after bringing this kind of players, but also the league itself. I think people start to understand there is passion in Saudi. It's not just about money, it's not just about bringing players, but there is actual passion when there are big players on the pitch and big clubs on the pitch.
Yeah.
What happened, for example, with Al Hilal in the recent months, doing this fantastic record of consecutive win games is something that is showing the power of the club even outside outside Saudi. So I think the feeling in general is that for the industry, they're growing in an incredible way, and people are respecting that. When it all started, when Cristiano moved to Saudi, people were still not so confident about that. Maybe it's not going to be long term. Maybe it's going to be a couple of months and then it's going to be over like China years ago. Now the feeling is completely different. Respecting that and feeling that this is going to be for the long term.
You said that, right? You thought Ronaldo was the game changer, right?
Yeah, I believe he brought a lot of attention to the Saudi league.
Absolutely. Cristiano changed it all. Cristiano changed it all because before Cristiano... I still remember that was not considered a big league and also not a big deal when it was time to say, okay, this is going to be for the long term. When you see an industry, not just a player, but an industry like Cristiano Ronaldo, a company like Cristiano Ronaldo moving to Saudi, you understand that something special is going to happen there. And many players started to trust the process, many agents, many clubs.
Yeah.
So it completely changed the game. Absolutely.
Amazing. Do you think the Saudi have a spot in the Champions League? You think they can... make it happen?
Well, I think they will try to make it happen in the future. I think they will try and already to have also the Club World Cup growing in a different system now in 2025 will be very different. I think the attention around the Club World Cup will be completely different compared to what it was in the recent years. This is going to help the movement. So I think they will try. They have this dream to try and enter the Champions League. Let's see if it's going to be possible. They already changed the model of the Champions League now. It's going to enter in action next year. So it's going to be already a big change. But I think they dream of that. And if they keep bringing important players, if they keep bringing attention to the Saudi football, I think that could be a possibility.
Tell us some players that's coming to Saudi. You know all the secrets, bro.
We can run down with the team. So what about like so Hilal, Nasser? Like, what do you think? Will they be bringing any specific players in? Have they targeted anybody specifically?
I think it's going to be busy. I think it's going to be very busy again.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be with the same model. So trying to bring in good players, not just big names, but also good players. Not just because you want to bring the big brand or the big model there. You need to bring also the important player on the pitch, and this is going to be the idea. I think Al Ittihad will also be very busy.
Yeah.
They're not so happy with what they did in the recent months. Yeah. We're not so lucky with some signings, so I think they will be very busy in the summer transfer window. And then obviously, Al Hilal, as always, will be busy. Al Nassr, obviously, trying to complete the squad around Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
So I think in general, it's going to be very busy. Also, Al Ahly, I'm hearing that they want to bring some important player in the summer. summer. Yeah. So I expect similar summer that we saw last year.
Will it be players towards the end of their career? Do you think it will be kind of prime players?
Not only. They will also try to bring some prime players. It's not easy, yeah? You can understand that it's not easy. For example, in January, it was really complicated. They tried to make some negotiation, but it was really complicated because top European players want to stay here and compete maybe for the Champions League or for the league till the end. Yeah. So I think they will try to bring some prime player. It's never easy, but the mission is that one. So to try to find some good opportunity there.
What would you say, based on all your dealings, what is the perception among players and agents? Like, how do they view the Saudi League?
I think they view the Saudi League as something that can really grow again and again in the next year. Still, the World Cup, no? Also to have the World Cup is a big message that this is not going to stop in a couple of years. So this was giving also a very positive message to agents and players. They can feel that now, if you go to Saudi, it's not for short term, but it can be for long term. They can feel that in the summer they're going to invest again. So this is something that is going to be huge for present and future. So I have a really positive perspective.
Kevin De Bruyne and Mohamed Salah linked. Is that possible, do you think?
I think they are among the big, big targets they have. I would mention Kevin De Bruyne, Mo Salah, Ter Stegen, also Barcelona, is really appreciated. It's true that Al-Ittihad really like the player. Then let's see if they can make it happen. But I think these three names are among the big names they have in the list for the summer. For Kevin De Bruyne, I think there is also going to be interest from MLS. So let's see, there is always this kind of competition with MLS, no?
Yeah.
But I think Kevin De Bruyne is one of the names to follow. And then also Mo Salah. But
that's not great.
Yeah.
Is that an ambulance? What is that?
Ambulance or police?
I think this is ambulance.
Ambulance. Yeah, okay. Just going back, so you mentioned about the MLS. Why didn't Messi come to Saudi? Like, why did he prefer Inter Miami? Was it a financial thing? Was it a lifestyle thing?
I think it was not financial. I think it was just family reasons, also because it was close to David Beckham, obviously. Many other players also had the chance there to build the squad with some players who are his big friends, no? Like Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba. So he had that opportunity to create what he wanted there, that maybe in Saudi was different. You have the chance to join a big club, but then it's the club deciding who they want to bring in and not the player himself. So I think there were different reasons, but then he already prepared this Inter Miami move a long time ago.
Was it close though, like him moving to Hilal? Or?
I would not say close. I think it was a possibility, a concrete possibility, but close was never that close from what I heard.
And so recently, we interviewed Ivan Rakitic, and we've seen Ronaldo give really positive quotes about the Saudi League and living in Saudi. We saw less positivity from Jordan Henderson, and even Aymeric Laporte said some stuff recently. What do you think needs to change for more players to want to come and to be very happy there? Like, do they need to change anything, do you think?
One thing I would change is the communication around the games. You know? Because, for example, sometimes all people know that in Saudi there are big stars, big players, big clubs playing.
Yeah.
But then sometimes here in Europe, people don't have the perspective. Obviously, me, yes, as a journalist, but normal people, football fans, don't have the perspective of when there are the crucial games. Maybe when there is an Al-Ittihad, Al Nasser, or Al-Ittihad, Al Hilal, you know, this kind of big games. When they're going to play, where I can see the game, who are the players on the pitch? Because sometimes here, normal people have the perspective, the players are moving to Saudi, but not those specific clubs, you know? So to instruct people about the football games, when there are the games, how is the schedule? Because this is really important when you prepare for the game and you create excitement. I think this is crucial.
Do you get the games here though? Wow, can you watch the games here?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. But it's not easy to have the feeling about the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
It's
not on big channels. The schedule is not really access to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I think it's the excitement around the schedule is something really important to build more and more excitement.
So more marketing is needed, you think?
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Because the time difference is, I think, like 1 hour. So that works. They've got great players. Obviously, there's big rivalries. So it would do well in a football mad city or
but
country like Italy.
People don't actually know when maybe Al Hilal are playing, Al Ittihad are playing, Al Nassr are playing. They don't know.
We've got to feed this information back.
Wow. Yeah. So they need marketing.
That's my idea.
Saudi, let's do it.
And do you think, so you know, we mentioned for Ahli, Ittihad, Hilal, Nasser, do you think other teams in the league will also target big players, or is it only going to be the PIF-owned company?
I think so. They will also try to target big players, maybe not that big as they can do, like maybe Al Nasser, Al Ittihad, Al Hilal. But the others too, I think so. Maybe Al-Shabaab also. I think Al-Shabaab will try to be busy, to be smart on the market with some big names. So I think, yes, it's going to be the entire movement, not just one or two clubs. But obviously, it's not always easy. Eh? We have to remind that they already brought many players to the Saudi League. It was not easy to do that in a short time. I always say that sometimes can seem easy, even if you have big money to invest on salaries and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, to convince players to move there, to leave European football, Champions League, is not that easy. I think they did an excellent job and they will keep trying, but it's not that easy.
You know football teams in general, so Saudi League and non-Saudi League, do they plan transfers like one window at a time? So for example, now anybody, Liverpool or Hilal, do they look at, okay, in the summer we're going to buy this guy, or do they look at summer, January, summer, like 3-4 windows in advance?
in the usual cases, 80% of the cases, clubs plan window by window. So okay. It's not 1 year before or 2 years before. It's not long term. They always plan window by window. Then there are some clubs who can do that, who can plan for the long term, who already know what they want to do in 1 year, in 2 years.
Yeah.
But these are like just three, four clubs around Europe. For example, Real Madrid are like this. Real Madrid, it's an incredible example to me. Yeah. Every time I say that, not just because they win and they do an excellent job, but look what happened last summer. They had Alaba ACL injury, Courtois ACL injury, Militao ACL injury, all the players injured in 2-3 months.
Yeah.
They didn't react by signing new players. They said, okay, let's stay with this team. Yeah. We will play Nacho, we will play Rudiger. In case of emergency, we will play Tchouaméni. And at the end, they are still performing, trusting your players and sign players when you believe there is the real opportunity. So this is the plan for Real Madrid. I think they are the best example, of course.
Wow. Interesting one. And the last kind of Saudi league or Saudi-based question is about PIF have always linked, or they're always linked with Inter Milan. I saw something again a few days ago. Is there any truth to this? Like, what do you think?
At the moment, we don't have anything concrete.
Oh, really?
I think in all the checks we are doing, there is always this kind of hope in Italy, especially here in Milano, for AC Milan, for Inter to have new owners, maybe Saudi owners, to dream about that. Because at the end of the day, you have a fantastic city. Yeah. Italian football is still full of passion. San Siro is always full. As we are playing or Inter are playing, San Siro is always super full. The passion is insane. I suggest you one day to go to a football game in San Siro, because trust me, I travel around Europe a lot. And it's not easy to find this atmosphere. In the last 5-4 years, when Inter and Milan returned to the Champions League after difficult years, now the atmosphere is insane. So you want to dream even with good players.
Are they for sale though? As a club, Inter Milan, they are available for somebody to purchase?
Yeah, they are. Inter are available. Milan are looking for opportunities maybe for the next month. So I think it's an open situation, but it's a big opportunity to invest, because the passion is there, the stadium is fantastic atmosphere, and then at the end of the day, even if they don't have big money, already now they are playing Champions League final. It's happened with Inter, or semi-final, it's happened with Milan. So I think there is big ground to
invest.
Are
there any barriers to external parties buying Italian clubs? So we see, you know, in England, everybody's buying a football club, but in Italy, like, you have so many great teams, Lazio, Napoli, Juve, Milan,
there
Inter,
is no barriers.
Roma.
The only problem is with, for example, if you want to build a new stadium and to have your own stadium for an investor is obviously important, it's really slow and complicated. This is why sometimes they are not investing on Italian football, because at the end of the day, in terms of revenues, you can't create revenues with a stadium. You have an old stadium, which is fascinating, of course, but at the same time, you need money, you need to make profit, you need to make revenues. Yeah. And this is more complicated in Italy. That's the only reason that it's creating an issue, I think.
Maybe the commercial, that kind of the commercial deal around the league in terms of televised, you know, television viewing, shall I say? Like, is that a big deal? Is that a small deal? Like, how does that compare?
No, it's
to
still
Europe?
A small deal. Even with marketing or sponsorship on the shirt, for example, the Gen Z is still old style, I would say, in Italy.
No, they are close growing to the Premier League.
No, not at all. Not at
really?
All. I think clubs like Inter or these kind of clubs are, or Roma or Lazio, or have the same kind of revenues from this kind of marketing, same as Crystal Palace or these kind of clubs.
Wow.
We are still behind.
There's so much history and legacy. Like, I find that so surprising.
Yeah,
like,
I think there is a big opportunity here, really. Yeah. As an Italian and living here, when you see the passion, when you see how people love football, the city also that is ready to host.
You got to come Saudi, man. Convince them to invest, man.
I should.
So I also wanted to ask you, what about, so we see a lot of European and non-European players coming into the Saudi league. Yeah. What about Saudi-based players going abroad? Like, we saw, is it Salim Al-Dosri? He was in Spain, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, is there an opportunity for players to go and play outside?
Absolutely. I think this is going to be the future, you know?
Yeah.
Because now maybe it could be a slow process, not that fast, but when you are growing as a country, growing as a league, investing a lot of money on these players, these superstars coming to your clubs, at the end of the day, also the Saudi players are improving in daily training sessions. Yeah. You can understand the winning mentality, you're improving a lot. So I think this is going to happen. This is absolutely going to happen. Also having an important coach like Roberto Mancini in the national team is a big motivation, I think,
of course,
for the players.
Yeah,
so I think at the end of the day, this is going to happen. Maybe it can take some time, but I see this close. Maybe in the next 2-3 years, I think some Saudi player will start joining important leagues.
What do you think? So you want to say that?
I want to ask you, is there any Saudi player that when you see play, you're fascinated by their skills?
Yeah, I think there are some players, as Al-Dosari, as you mentioned, but there are many. I think it's about entering the mentality that in Europe, every single
give us some names.
Well, we'll get this guy out there.
I think he's still early. But I think it's about entering into the mentality that in Europe, every single game matters. It's important. Yeah. Maybe they are not used yet to that kind of level of competition.
Yeah.
You maybe have like 5, 6, 10 important games. Yeah. You have to enter into the mentality that in Europe, every game is crucial. Even here in Italy, not just in the Premier League or in the Liga. In Italy, in France, in Germany, this kind of approach is crucial. But I think they will get there thanks to these superstars joining. Yeah, they will.
Yeah, hopefully. So how long do you think before they could compete with the really best leagues in Europe? So Premier League, Italian League, Spanish League?
I think Premier League is a different sport, honestly. So,
oh, really? Never?
Never know, but I think for Premier League it will take a lot of time. Yeah. With the other leagues, as Cristiano said recently, I think it was in Dubai when he mentioned at the Globe Soccer about the Ligue 1, yeah, you know, the Ligue 1 comparison.
French League, yeah.
I think it's not that wrong. And maybe in some years they can get really close to the French League, to the Italian League,
yeah,
and to many other leagues. Because at the end, if you keep building the passion around the team, and obviously bringing good players,
yeah,
if you keep working on the schedule, as I mentioned, so to make people excited here in Europe about the games you have in Saudi, at the end, it is going to pay the perfect match.
Because they have the money, they have the vision, they have the ambition to do it. So why not? Like, let's say the Premier League. So you should always aim to be the best, right? Like, why can't they compete with the Premier League in, let's say, 5 years?
I think they can, but the Premier League, it takes more time. That's really? My feeling. Yeah, because in the Premier League, every single game is a show. It's an incredible show. Every single game. Yeah. Even if you look at the Crystal Palace playing, I don't know, Burnley, at the end of the day, you're going to have fun because they are at elite level, even at small clubs, with all respect for Palace and Burnley. But at the end of the day, you have elite level there, always. In other leagues, it's not like this. If you look at a game here in Serie A, it's boring. If it's not a big game, it's going to be boring. So that's why I think imagine for the Premier League to compete, for the Saudi League to compete with the Premier League, I think it's going to be tough.
Okay, cool. Moving on to other European leagues. So two really big teams in Saudi are Barca and Madrid. People really appreciate them. So with Barca, they have a big summer coming up, right? Yep. So Xavi's leaving, knocked out the Champions League again. They haven't won the Champions League since Xavi even played there. What will they do in the summer and how can they compete with Madrid, who look unbelievable right now?
It's going to be a difficult mission to compete with Real Madrid, honestly. Yeah. I think Real Madrid in this moment are on a different level compared to all the other clubs. Maybe only Man City, some English club can compete, but all the others are really behind Real Madrid at this point. But Barcelona, in my opinion, have the secret jolly they have in their team is always about La Masia. So they keep producing these fantastic talents. Lamine Yamal is fantastic, Pau Cubarsí, and they will have many others coming up. So the mission is to trust La Masia, to have a manager who can trust La Masia and keep respecting this policy of the club to trust young players, and then to bring in some good player. I don't think Barca will do a crazy market in the summer.
Oh, really? You don't think so?
I'm not expecting super big names.
It's a money thing? They have no money?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that they don't have no money, but it's the financial fair play. With the financial fair play, it's really tough for Barcelona. So they need to sell players to make profit, but at the end of the day, you don't want to sell your superstars. You don't want to sell Pedri, Gavi, Lamine and these players. You want to keep them, so you have to sell other players, but you can't generate super big profit by selling players. You already invested big money to sign
them. It's sad, right?
So, you know, that's the issue with financial fair play. I expect Barca to have a good market with some good opportunities, but not with super big names.
Really? What about manager-wise? Who would be linked with them or who is linked with them? Who would go there?
No, so for Barca, I think they will try to convince Xavi Hernandez till the end. They will really try to convince Xavi Hernandez. The president Laporta loves Xavi, so he will try to convince Xavi to change his mind.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think Rafa Márquez could be a candidate
to
stay with La Masia, to stay with this Barca mentality and keep trusting their own players.
Yeah, interesting.
What about Real Madrid? What's their plans for the summer? Do you think what they got up their sleeve? As
The plan is Kylian Mbappé, obviously, just waiting for the contract to be signed. But everything is on track. Everything is in place. I think Real Madrid are more than confident. This is really, really clear for Mbappé. Then they will look at the left back. It's a possibility with Alphonso Davies is the priority target. So they are waiting to understand what happens between Davies and Bayer in terms of contract extension. But I don't think it's going to happen. So this is why Real Madrid will be there for Alphonso Davies.
So you think a good chance that Alphonso Davies goes?
It's a possibility. I think yes, they will try, they will push, and he's one of the main targets they have. Another players they love, but I think it could be more next summer, 25, in case he doesn't extend the contract, is Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool.
Don't say that, I'm a Liverpool fan, man. Don't be saying these things.
Trent is a player they love. Trent is a player they're following, so I think he's another target they have.
Yeah.
And then don't forget about Endrick, because this boy is special. Right? This boy is really special and he's coming now.
When does he join? He's
joining at the beginning of July. Palmeiras tried to keep the player on loan maybe till December. You know, you have Mbappé, you have Rodrigo, Vinicius, Bellingham, all these players. But Real Madrid say no chance. The player has to come here and he will be part of the first
team. I read something about Mbappé, like his salary is like €1 million a week and sign on fee €100 million. Is this accurate or is it ballpark?
What I heard is that his salary is going to be in the region of the salary of Vinicius and Bellingham, not to create an internal player, an internal problem, sorry. So it's going to be something around €25 million net per season.
Ain't too bad.
Yeah, not bad.
But also, for a young man.
A signing fee will be there. A signing fee will be there. And from what I heard, it will be in excess of €100 million in 5 years. So paid
€20 million a year.
Yeah.
Imagine to give him this. Wow. Just to sign up, just to
amazing, man. Where's the ball? I can tell you, I'm going to practice right here.
At the end of the day, you're not paying the transfer fee. And imagine what kind of transfer fee you had to pay if you wanted to sign him.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
And then just moving on to the Premier League. So I mentioned I'm a Liverpool fan. So what are they going to do? Give me some good news, man. Like what are they going to do?
The coach is the crucial part. I think already good news are there because they brought in important people like Michael Edwards, Richard Duke. So the board structure, the new board structure is very good. Michael Edwards is like a top player. It's like signing an important player. It's like signing a number 10 because at the end of the day, he's the guy who brought Mo Salah, Alisson, all the superstars at Liverpool in the past. So I think it's already a very good news. Richard Duke did an excellent job at Bournemouth. So I would be really confident because there are good people in charge of this new era.
What about Manchester United? Because they have an interesting summer coming up, right? So they're potentially looking for a new manager. Are they looking for a new manager?
At the moment, no. At the moment, they are not in active conversation for a new manager, but they will decide at the end of the season. So Erik ten Hag's job is not safe at this point. It's an open situation. Yeah. I think it's important to say what's going to happen in FA Cup because, you know, at the end, if you win the FA Cup, maybe you can change the perception around the manager. Yeah. They also had more than 60 injury cases this season. This is incredible. Eh? So you also have to take it into consideration, but they are still keeping it open. So the Erik ten Hag position is open at the moment. It's not safe. It's an interesting one. And then they will be really busy in terms of transfer business.
Any truth to Southgate going there? Like,
at the moment, no. I think the only truth there is that Ineos, the new owners of Manchester United, have a good relationship with Gareth Southgate. Yeah. So, for example, Dan Ashworth, the guy who is coming in as new face of the project of Manchester United, as new director of Manchester United, obviously he knows Southgate so well because he brought him in the FA as new coach. So they have a very good relationship. But at the moment, in terms of negotiations, may United, Southgate know, and also Southgate doesn't want to enter into any conversation before the Euros.
So even transfer-wise, there's nobody, until the manager gets kind of finalised.
In this case, is more advanced because they already have the idea of what they want to do. So it's going to be at least one centre-back. I think it could be also two if Varane is going to leave the club, which is a possibility. I think it could be one name to watch for Saudi, because Rafa Varane is really appreciated by Saudi clubs. So let's see who is going to bring a proposal.
Varane to Saudi.
Yeah, Varane could be a possibility.
Yeah.
And so two centre-backs for Man United, one left-back because they had too many injuries there with Luke Shaw. Malasia is going to be I think a busy position for Manchester United to cover in the summer. Maybe a midfielder if Casemiro or Eriksen leaves, that could be a position to cover. And then a number nine, centre striker.
Oh, so it's a busy summer for them.
No, I think they will bring in maybe could be like four or five players at least.
Do you think they'll spend significant amounts of money or they're going to go kind of lower?
It also depends on the outgoings. If they can sell Sancho, if they can sell Greenwood, there are many players to sell in the summer transfer window. I think they can spend a good amount of money.
And one of our producers, Abdullah, he's a big Chelsea fan. So what about them? Are they going to do anything?
Of course they are. Of course. Chelsea are always doing something. So I think they will be busy in the
But no issues with FFP for those guys?
They have some issues, but it's all the other clubs, I think.
Yeah.
They have some issues, but they have to sell some player in the summer transfer window, at the beginning of the transfer window. Yeah. So I think players like Chalobah could leave the club and this kind of players coming from the academy to generate pure profit. And then, for example, Conor Gallagher is a situation to watch. He's out of contract in 25, so it's similar to what happened with Mason Mount. Also, Gallagher could be on the move, and then they will be busy because they will sign a new striker, they will sign a new centre-back, they will try to cover different positions, even left-back, I think could be one to cover for
Do you think these teams are mentioned, are they already identifying players or are they waiting for the Euros to see how people perform there?
No, they are identifying players. Already maybe you have a short list of maybe four or five names for each position, so you still don't know who is the top target you have. But at the end of the day, you're already speaking to agents to discuss opportunities. For example, Chelsea, for the striker, spoke to different agents. The agents of Sesko, the agents of Osimhen, the agents of different players around Europe.
What about Arsenal? Arsenal going to buy anybody?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Arsenal will be busy. Arsenal will be busy too. I think it's going to be an exciting summer. Arsenal will be there because they need a player in a defensive position, probably left back, then a midfielder. I see Arsenal signing an important midfielder in the summer transfer window. For example, Zubimendi at Real Sociedad is a player they like.
Yeah.
Arsenal advantage for Arsenal is that they already have the manager, obviously, with an important project. So they know who are the players they like. Yeah. And Zubimendi is one of them. Onana at Everton is one of them. Also, Douglas Lewis at Aston Villa. There are some players they already appreciate.
And striker? The link with the striker.
They will sign a striker. Yeah. Let's see if they prefer to invest on a winger or a centre striker, but they will invest in that position. And I think Gyökeres from Sporting is a player they really like.
I was actually surprised that Arteta has never been linked with Barca because he was at Barca, right?
Yeah, in the past.
But he's never been linked as a manager. Is that something that could happen?
He's been linked at some point. Where at the beginning, when Xavi said they're going to leave, Arteta was one of the names who was in the press in Spain. But it's never been a possibility. It's never been a possibility because Arteta is in love with Arsenal project.
Oh, really? He wouldn't consider it? He's Spanish, played for Barca.
He doesn't want to change now. He believes that this Arsenal project still has a lot of potential for the present.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job.
I think they will try to extend his contract. Yeah.
This is the best football educational section I ever had in my life, brother. So quick question. Over the years, who was the biggest transfer that you was part of or that you pushed?
I have to mention the two big names. I have to. When Cristiano joined Manchester United, and then obviously also Al Nassr. But when the feeling I had when he joined Manchester United was insane, because it was unexpected. You know, usually these kind of deals are expected because you have big rumors every single day, every single week.
Yeah.
And Cristiano was expecting for him to leave, but was not expecting for Cristiano to go to Man United. It was Man City in the media for the entire week, all the people saying about Man City. And then at the end, they came up with Manchester United. The excitement I saw that day when Cristiano joined Man United, it was a fast negotiation. It took 48 hours.
Yeah.
It was insane. And then obviously Leo Messi. When Messi left Barcelona, that moment was also unexpected because at the end, Messi had the contract there. Yeah. Everything was signed, everything was ready between Messi and Barcelona to continue. But because of financial fair play, they were not able with La Liga to proceed. The shock I saw in Barcelona fans and football fans around the world when Messi was available as free agent. Yeah, Messi and free agent in the same sentence was something completely crazy.
Terrible management from Barcelona, though.
Wow.
Yeah,
the best player ever, and he's on a free transfer.
That was incredible. That was incredible.
About the Euros, are there any players in particular you think that we should keep an eye on?
There are many. I think there are many. I think England have an incredible opportunity because to have this kind of class of fantastic player from Phil Foden to Jude Bellingham and all the others. I can mention many, but Declan Rice, Harry Kane, all these.
Any young players?
Any ones
that maybe aren't mainstream?
That's difficult. Not mainstream is difficult because there are really many talents I think are going to shine. I will keep an eye on Portugal. They have many talents and maybe are not that mainstream. So I think Portugal could be one of the surprises at the Euros, especially with the coach. They have a very good coach, Roberto Martinez.
Yeah.
And then I think one of the players who can really explore the World Cup is Florian Wirtz with Germany.
He's already
doing very well with Bayer Leverkusen, but I think he can become a superstar at the Euros because they play home. He's in Germany and they have many talents playing next to Musiala. I think it's a big opportunity for them to link up and to do something.
Do you think, because I see Musiala linked with City, Wirtz hasn't really been linked from what I saw. Any chance those two move on?
I think he will stay this summer at Bayern. They will try to extend this contract in every possible way.
Musiala.
You mean Wirtz?
Or both of them,
I think Musiala is staying and Wirtz is also staying this summer. I think in 25 that could be different.
Where would they go? Who's the favourites?
Good question. At the moment, no early favourites because really at the moment there is still not something concrete. All these clubs, top clubs around Europe are saying these players, but they're not actually negotiating for them. So because they know that Bayern...
Liverpool, any chance?
Maybe in the future.
Cool. Last question, who's going to win the Euros?
Good question. My prediction is England.
England, yeah?
Yeah.
So I told you guys earlier, I told you England would win.
Do you have to deal with people trying to manipulate the information they give you, not give you not true information so that you can push it?
It happened a lot of the time, to be honest, more in the last like 5-4 years because people didn't know me so well. You know, it was the beginning of my journey on international stage. Yeah. And so they really tried to feed me with...
But how do you filter through what's authentic or not?
Always check the news with many different people before sharing the news. That's the only way. Verify the news as many times as possible before sharing the news. And then at the end of the day, after a long time in the industry, you know who is the people to trust. There is some people that can send me a message and say, share this news. I trust them like it's my father because I know that they're never going to give me any fake news because they're my friends at the end.
Yeah.
And there is some people I don't trust because I know that sometimes they're using the press. They're using me as a journalist. And so I always try to check.
How many numbers in your phone book, man? It must be in the thousands,
No idea, honestly. It's a crazy number.
It must be.
Crazy number. Trust me, this
is the real last question. Who is the biggest transfer outside of Mbappe you think that will happen this summer?
Could be De Bruyne, huh?
Yeah.
Could be De Bruyne. Because Kevin will decide at the end of the season. He doesn't want to entertain a negotiation now. He wants to focus on Man City, on the Premier League. But at the end of the season, he has to make a decision on his future.
Yeah.
And I think it could be Kevin De Bruyne. Yes. I think with Saudi interest, of course, there.
Yeah.
So Kevin De Bruyne is a very good option. I think Kevin De Bruyne, Mo Salah, these names are the big ones, yes.
Carrasco's at Shabab. Hopefully De Bruyne joins Shabab. We know Prince Khalid.
We love him. I'm learning every day.
But that's amazing. Thank you so much
for making the time. Appreciate you.
Welcome to this unbelievable city, man. Look at the skyline. It's crazy.
Great. Amazing. Thanks. Yeah.